Ladies and gentlemen, if we could take our seats, if you've still some seats there, if everyone's sitting comfortably, then we'll get underway. So we've got Trove City first team manager Paul Watton, Eric Perez, the executive chairman of Trove City Football Club, and Alex Black, football consultant for Trove City Football Club. I'm sure, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you all saw the news this morning. The club has been taken over by a Canadian consortium, of which Eric is part of. We've also announced, and I think it's the best news, and it really is good news as well, that Trove City are coming home, football is coming home. Trove City will play at a new ground, the ground up at Langarth, for the 24-25 season. We thank you all, those of you that are making the trip to up to Plymouth Parkway at the moment. We know it's not easy supporting the team from a distance, but each and every person involved with this football club really thanks you. So thank you ever so much for your support. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, if I introduce you to the new executive chairman of Trove City Football Club, Mr. Eric Perez.
Thank you very much. You good? Nope. Is it on?
Thanks everybody for coming out. Really appreciate it. The great turnout. So excited to be here. So excited to be able to represent a group that are taking custodianship of such a storied and significant club that means so much to the community and to the Duchy. Incredible news. Football is coming home next year. We'll be playing at the Langarth site. The ground will be there, and we're just so ecstatic to be able to do that. We're excited for what comes. The side is actually, hey, listen, we're at a high level, but we can get at a higher level. I think we can do quite well with it. We've got a lot of ideas. We're keen to engage with fans, the community, and try and listen to you and understand what you want to see at this club. So on behalf of the group in Canada, we're just super excited to be here, to take over, and to do fun and exciting things. There's a bit of another announcement that I want to make today that we didn't really set up, but I want to announce that, first of all, we have an incredible manager here. I think one of the best managers out there, and we have signed Paul to a multi-year deal. So listen, this is the best man to lead the club, and I'll let him say a few words now.
Well, listen, first and foremost, just to reiterate Eric's points, thank you very much for your turnout. I can't tell you how proud I am to have signed an extension today. I was a manager at Truro when we left Truro, and one of the things I said was I want to be the manager when we come back. There cannot be better news. There cannot be better news to be back playing in Cornwall. It's been a difficult time. It's been unsettling for everyone. But just to get back home, so you fans can come and watch, because without fans, a football club's nothing. You know, hopefully, you know, the football team will always give their all as long as I'm manager. I've said that in my first ever interview. They'll never leave anything on the pitch. It'll never be through lack of effort. You know, it's a tremendously exciting time to be a Truro City fan, to be a Truro City player, to be the Truro City chairman, to be the Truro City manager. You know, Truro City is coming home, and you know, people who know football know that when we're at home, you know, Trey Road, we had some amazing times. Even in my short period at Trey Road, was fantastic, and we're looking to bring those times back to Truro, and I'm convinced we will. The easiest decision I've had to make for a long, long time when I got offered the extension was an instant yes. You know, because I believe in the process, I believe in what's going on. And like I said, the word exciting is the overriding factor for me. I can't wait to get started. It's been difficult and it's continuing to be difficult. There's no getting away from it. you have to motivate yourself to then go and motivate the players. I fully understand, you know, with the credit crunch, it's expensive to watch football. It's difficult. Petrol's expensive to get to the ground and stuff. And I would never blame any fan for not. I completely get it. Completely understand it. You know, I know last year we was top of the league for a long, long period, ended up going up through the playoffs. But I know if we'd been back home in the new stadium at Truro, we'd be looking at 1,000-plus gates all the time. I know that from a short time at Cherry Road. I know how passionate the fans are. I know that, you know, there were certain games last year we were drawing 1-1 with 10 minutes to go. If we was back in Truro, we'd go on and win that game because fans make a difference. Absolutely they do. So it's been difficult, but look, you get difficult times in football, you get difficult times in life. It's all about just marching forward, you know, and there's light at the end of the tunnel. So whatever's happening now, look to the future. Never look backwards, look to the future. Keep marching forward. And I keep repeating myself, but it's so exciting. We wouldn't be sat at the table. I wouldn't have signed the extension if I didn't believe in the club and didn't believe in what's going on. This season, so we're getting used to a new league. We're learning fast. The players are given everything they've got, and I'm convinced we'll be absolutely fine. You know, but you come through. We've had a tough period just now. We went away at Chelmsford when no one expected us to win. So the team we've got is we'll never give up. And if you're not in football to succeed and to strive to succeed, now whether you do or not, it's two different things. If you're not striving to succeed and you're doing everything you can to bring success to the football club that's employing you, you shouldn't be in the job. So I'm an optimist, and I'm also a realist, but I believe there's good times ahead, and you know it's all pulling in the same direction, because together we're stronger. You can't do anything on your own, so you know you need to be united and unified, and you know this is the start of that.
Some of you may know that Eric's not a stranger to Cornwall. He also is the man behind the Cornwall Rugby League Club as well, so he is not a stranger to Cornwall. But if I can just ask you, Eric, why Cornwall? What is so special about Cornwall and sporting Cornwall?
It's a great question. Cornwall is it's a magical place. Captured my heart, my soul. When I'm here, I feel at home. I feel the spirit of it. Incredible food, by the way. Probably the best food in the UK. You know, you've got the sea on all, you know, three sides. You've got Devon, so you know we quickly move along from Devon and we get to Cornwall, where it's proper. By the way, sorry about that, brother. Okay. Okay, he's one of ours now. Don't worry. And I just, it's just a place that has so much potential and so much, I believe, unfulfilled professional sporting potential. And I think to be able to bring this club back and to inspire youth to come out and watch and play, you know, I believe we can produce incredible talent here. And over the years, I think we will produce incredible talent. It may take a while for that talent to get to the first team, but when it does, I think it'll be significant. And we're going to put Cornwall back on the map for football. We have the best man here to lead. And I'll tell you why I believe he's the best man. I was at training the other day. When was it? Tuesday?
Tuesday.
The days are melting. I was at training on Tuesday. The camaraderie amongst the lads, the positivity, the spirit. And it's all because of leadership. And Paul's leadership has been incredible. Like you said, you know, 40-plus away matches a year, so it just, I couldn't be more confident. The group that I represent couldn't be more confident in this man's ability to lead. So we should put pen to paper, I think, at this point.
Alex has been involved with this football club since 2019. Alex, am I right saying that?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. Maybe a little bit longer.
Wish them days away. Lost a little bit more hair. Alex has been involved in this process for a number of years. And if I could ask you, Alex, see these two banners here, football's coming home. Was there any time when you probably sat and thought, it's not going to happen? Were there dark times? And does moments like this, when we can announce that football's coming home, when we can publicly announce that our manager has signed a long-term contract? Does that make all that hard work worth it when you can have days like this?
Well, look, I think I'd like to tell you all my dark moments that I've had worrying about Truro City, because we, you know, going to depress everybody on such a nice night. But I think, look, we just had to get back, and unfortunately, we had to leave, and we didn't want to, and it was painful to have to do it. And you know, I think a lot of the fans were quite vocal about it, but without having to get into a whole series and myriad of reasons, and nobody had to go through that more than myself, that was basically the only choice that we had. I think, you know, when I first got involved, there was a lot of excitement and a lot of buzz. New facilities were going to build, the club was going to go forward, and you know, I think we're basically back here where I'm back where we first started, you know, down the bottom end of the National League South, and we want to keep moving forward. But a lot has gone on behind the scenes, you know. The reality is, I can't remember the exact date, but you know, a lot of people talk about the sale of Trail Road and to Lidl. Trail Road wasn't sold to Lidl, it was sold to some, I think it was Jojo Investments Limited. That kind of, the name says a lot about what was going on, doesn't it? That was, Dave probably knows when that was, but that was being long before 2012. So we're going way back. Truro hasn't actually had a permanent home that you could rely on for a very long time. And I always felt like if we could keep the top end of the club going, that would be brilliant. But we had to get this, we had to bring the club back, and we just had to do whatever we could dealing with everybody. And you know, I think the council, I know there's some people who might have, but they've been unbelievably good, but what we had to provide them with was something that they wanted to get on board with, and something that was for the community, and something that was for everybody. And once we found that path, we've been able to accelerate very quickly, and they're doing great stuff for us. Taking it on board to get this groundbreaking passed on March 31st is massive. But still, whilst we've been away, we've still managed to set up a youth team that plays in the FA Youth Cup. We've got reserves now playing in the South West Peninsula. That's a high standard that any reserve team in the country can play in. So, but there's been difficulties in getting there. And I think for all the club and for everybody, for me personally and lots of other people, there's lots of volunteers and staff and everything, and they all know who they are. What a great boost it is for these people to come in, give us a lot of positive vibes, a lot of energy and excitement, and bring the buzz back around the club, because that's what we need. You know, I'm you can tell from me speaking, I'm quite a dour Yorkshireman. This is as excited as I sound, unfortunately. this is fantastic news for the club, and it really gives us a springboard to go on and do what we want to do. And there's lots more things that we can do, but we've got the basis there to really push on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Black, Eric Perez and Paul Watton. We can move on to taking questions from the floor.
Can I ask, Eric, you said you're heading a consortium. Could you give us a bit of a background of who's in the consortium or anything we should know about them?
Sure. It's a lot of guys from Toronto, my hometown, Canada, and people that care about sport, care about football, and via my extreme passion for the place, care about Cornwall, committed, and first and foremost committed to the community, committed to building within the community, reaching out to the community. And one of the things that And then, by the way, it's a myriad of different types of people, lawyers, accountants, professionals, people who have done quite well. And the good thing is there's quite a few of them. So it's a great group of people that I've known for most of my life that I trust. And, you know, because as everybody who's been in business knows, you get burned a lot. So it's important to work with people that you trust, that you care about, that care about you, and that care about this project. So I think those are the kind of people that we have in it. And we are committed to not only building in the traditional way, but I think what we'd like to do with Truro City is make Truro City cool. Make Truro City the kind of club that young people want to come out and watch and say, you know, this is cool, this is a vibe, I want to come out to the matches. So we hope the matches next year can be a fun, exciting, obviously the football will be great because this man's leading the show, but what we really want is a nice, fun vibe that has a Cornish essence to it and is a party. So that is our kind of ethos on how we want to present the club going forward.
Eric, congratulations on the announcement. Two questions. First of all, what are your aspirations for the club? And can you give us any insight as to what fans can expect at the site in, you know, 2, 3, 4 years' time in terms of development, investments, and so on?
I think aspirations are, I mean, it would be incredible to see the club make the Football League one day. It's not going to happen overnight. And it's about sustainable growth, and it's about getting experience. I mean, we know even the league above where we are is one of the toughest divisions to get out of in the country, probably in the world. So it's not going to be an easy one, but building sustainably in the right way with support from the fans, because I think it was said earlier, without fans, their football club is nothing. So with fan support from the community, I would love to see this club get promoted in the next few years, which would be great. And then, you know, maybe a few years after that, maybe start flirting with the Football League. But yeah, I would love to see the club in the Football League. I think we deserve it. Cornwall deserves it. Cornwall deserves to have a club in the Football League. It's been over 100 years and it hasn't happened yet. So hopefully we can be the ones to make it happen.
This one goes a little bit to Eric and Paul. I know with a lot of our players, they're based in Devon. That's been the case for a long time, and especially when we were at Cherry Road, recruitment was quite difficult. There were certain rumblings about certain players not being happy to come down here. You know, it is a long way even for them for a home game. It's an hour down here. Are you concerned about, one, the current crop of players being committed enough to come down here and play in Cornwall, and two, recruitment in the future?
Yeah, so it's you're absolutely spot on that. Recruitment is probably the biggest thing to get right or wrong at a football club. Absolutely, we know we have to broaden our spectrum. So we have to look outside of the southwest of England. And the current squad at the minute, we've got players from Nottingham, from Stoke, from Salford. So the ways around it is, you know, you have to offer accommodation to players, and so the committed thing you're on about, okay, so that comes down to me. You identify a player who's a good football player, okay, that's one, that's the easy bit. Then you have to identify the player personality wise. You know, listen, we're not picking up Truro and moving it into the middle of the country for you to play for us. You've got to come down here to play for us. You know, it's a privilege to play for Truro City. It's a privilege to play in Cornwall. You know, look at the facility we've got. Look at it. We have to sell it to them and offer it to them. Now, in the Football League, you've got Plymouth Argyle's, the closest Football League club. It's a similar thing. Recruitment's tough, but you get them down here. You have to. You sell the club to them, you find out what they're like as a personality. Now, if that player then turns around and says, do you know what? I don't. They're gone. They're not for us. It's as simple as that. If they say, absolutely, I believe in that project, I'm coming down, perfect. Then you've got a winner. So that's the way around recruitment. And everything gets better all the time. Everything has to move forward. I'm massive on moving forward, you know. If a player says, no, they don't want to move down, okay, mate, no problem. Good luck. Next player, next player, next player. And eventually you end up with 20, 22, 24 committed players. And the dream is they're living in Truro, they're playing for Truro, and we're all succeeding. So it's a great question. Recruitment's the toughest part of any professional football club. Absolutely. But it will come down to their character, their desire to come down and play. And if they don't want to, they don't come down. But we'll find the ones who do want it.
By the way, besides playing for this legend, just life is incredible in Cornwall. You know, that's a big recruiting tool as well. And I think now that we're back, we can use the lifestyle as well as a big. Who wouldn't want to come down to Cornwall and play? Incredible place.
What about locally? Because I think there's a lot of local talent down here. Which have you got scouts down here looking at local talent? Because that'll save that travelling bit, and obviously because they're born and bred here in Cornwall. I think it's a great opportunity to join a club to your standard.
The dream is to have more Cornish players, absolutely. I think we have scouts. We have scouts all over the country because we're in the National League now. You can't get away with only having scouts in Devon and Cornwall. It's not going to work. We've got the reserves. You know, lots of talented players coming through there. Now, the step up into National League South is quite big. Yeah, so it's so you're looking for players ultimately at 16, 17, 18, who can handle the sixth tier of professional sport in England. It's a tough league. So the dream is to, you know, get an academy, get these players through, start working them through, and as you said, save the club money, might even make the club money, you're selling them off. It's a vast catchment area. It's huge. And it's untapped at the minute. But that's 100% something we will look into, absolutely. But as we do have scouts everywhere, we get players recommended to us all the time. We're always scouring Peninsula games and Western League games, step three, step four, step five. At the minute, you know, we haven't got anyone that would come through and play in the National League South on a regular basis. But we've got hundreds of names on our scouting list, you know. So.
Well, thanks, Paul, for that.
No problem.
Yeah. I think just to go a little bit further on that, I think you're right. When I've been down here, you either believe that nobody in Cornwall can play at that standard or higher, because very few come through. It's not just the Truro go through to anywhere. So you either believe that, or you believe that there isn't the opportunities and the facilities and the coaches and the pathways in place for them. That's a massive thing. For us, something we want to do, and we've already sat down with Eric, and that's something that does, but that does not happen overnight. You can't just change the whole culture of how kids are coached and how they've progressed overnight, but that's something we definitely want to do. And look, if we could have a whole team, if we could do that, even if you just put it another way, if you've got three or four players every few years coming through that were good enough, that recruitment job suddenly becomes 10 times easier, doesn't it, Paul?
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you for that.
My name is Brian Evans, I'm just a supporter. Thanks, gentlemen, for what you're doing. But the elephant in the room is always one thing down here. I understand you have to have the facilities acceptable to the FA by the end of March. Is it doable? Do you have concerns, or is it all bullshit? Sorry, is it not doable? I'm sorry, but I've only lived here 10 years, but I think I've heard this story about what's going to happen so many times that it's a bit scary. And you guys are fantastic, it's wonderful. Well, end of March, my God.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier when I was talking about, you know, everybody that's working on that site now knows the time scales that we have, and it was a massive challenge. Sometimes people get set challenges in life, but that's why I have to thank everybody that they really are stepping up to the mark. You know, if I said March 31st once, I must have said it a million times over the last 6 months to everybody, and everybody knows. But what I do know is that we've got good people working on it, and we know that. I think it was only last week that the National League came out and had a look at it, and we've had correspondence back from them just in the last few days, basically saying that, look, they are saying there's
lots of things that need to do. It's not like it's going to pass the ground really today, but they're more than happy with what we're doing and basically saying keep doing what you're doing, and they do believe that we'll get it done. So that is massive that they're on side with that. So that's as good as we're going to get at this stage. But you know, straightforward question: are we going to get it done? Yes, we are.
Just really following through is obviously brilliant, but the communication around the club is pretty poor. Cam does a great job, but getting information out of the last 2 or 3 years has been pretty abysmal, to be fair. Is it going to be much more information coming out and just rather than like, oh, you know, what's going on here, what's going on there, kind of from the horse's mouth, I think, rather than Deeks on a Friday?
Look, there's a lot of things that need to, I think, professionalize more. That's one of them. And that's nothing, that's no slight on Cam. That's just, yeah, Cam's incredible. But we're gonna take everything to another level. I think that's part of taking the club where it needs to go. Is that that's definitely a huge piece of it. I think it's really important to build a club culture. And one of the things about the club culture that we're particular about, but there are a couple of faces here of ex-players that have played for the club. I think we need to bring that out more, celebrate those who have worn the shirt, you know, and represented the club in the past, because all the good clubs that people follow, all the big clubs, they do that. So we need to do that. We need to celebrate the people who've played before as much as the ones that are playing now. And that's what makes it significant to play for the club, I think. So getting the messaging out, that'll be a big part of it. Improving the look and feel overall is a big part of it because we deserve to have the best in Cornwall. So, yeah, that's what we're aiming to do.
It's not a question, really. Sorry. No, more statement than intent. So, my name's Dulcie, and I'm the Cornwall councillor that has Langarth in my area. A bit of a poison chalice, that. But so, I just want to say that I know that with the coverage over the years, and I know it's been a really long journey getting here, but the media coverage sometimes has had a go at the council. But I just wanted to tell everybody here that the council's always been... has always been 100% getting the sports pitches and getting the club up there. I mean, from my point of view, my priority is through Milestone Football Club, but I would say that, wouldn't I? But it's been really difficult getting all the elements together. So for Truro City Football Club, for through Milestone Football Club, and facilities for what's going to be a new town to the west of Truro. And over the years, the young planning officers that I've spoken to with all the different plans, remember the stadium plans, the first version of them, is that the young planning officers have been like desperately, you know, trying to lobby to get it through. And everybody's really pleased with just this, we're almost there. It's so tantalising, isn't it? We're almost there. But I just want to say on behalf of the council, well, on behalf of my division anyway, that we're really happy that we've reached this point and we want to work with the club going forwards for the local community.
Hi, Eric. You run the rugby league and now the football club. Will they run as separate entities, or will it come under one umbrella? And going forward, will the rugby league club be playing in the new stadium?
So they'll be owned by the same holding company, but they'll run as completely separate entities. And I think that the new ground is a site for all clubs in Cornwall to play at. So, and it would be great if the rugby league club played there. Football club definitely will play there, but it remains to be seen.
I go every year, or right, every time I can, watch the reserves play. Is it the intention eventually that the reserves will also play at Langarth?
Yes.
Well, couldn't have said it better.
Just a question regarding the ground. Who's actually going to own where Truro City are going to be playing?
So, obviously at the moment, I'm pretty certain, because it does get quite complicated. I'll look at Dulcie, she can nod or shake her head when I get something wrong. Obviously that's currently owned by the council, that site. And there's a myriad of possibilities for us as a football club, whether we own it or whether we have a long-term lease, or how that operates is yet to be finalised, but it will definitely be done before March 31st. The council know that because it has to be as part of the ground grading, and they accept that. And you know, it's going to be our permanent home. You know, our money's 106 money's been spent, and it has to be our permanent home. So that's where we're going to be.
Two things. The first thing is, if the reserves don't go in there next season, then they've got to be relegated. And the other thing is that on the plans for the new ground, it says 300 covered seats. Well, it's got to be a lot more than that. Is the plan's going to be changed?
Getting all the questions.
Yeah. That's why I brought them.
Well, the simple question is that the reserves will play there next season. If it isn't as straightforward that if they didn't, that they would get relegated, because there are other opportunities that we could potentially use for the reserves, which we don't necessarily want to, but we could potentially do, which would mean that they wouldn't get relegated. So one way or another, the reserves will, well, as long as John keeps them getting enough points, will not get relegated, and it won't be because of ground grading. At the moment, the slight complication in terms of how many could, the capacity is over 3,000 to go there as when it gets completed for the ground grading, and it can be moved up quite easily. There's one of the slight complications is that the main stand, when it's all completed, is going to be in the big clubhouse community building, whatever we're referring to that as. So what we're actually going to end up is with the seats that are going in now to pass the ground grading are actually going to be additional seats than we would have necessarily required. So maybe in the short term, it might be a smaller amount, but in the long term, we're going to end up with more seats than we need or could have afforded to pay for ourselves. So it's going to be fine.
This one kind of towards Eric and Alex. Even when we were at Treu as well, there wasn't much of the fan involvement side of things, I felt anyway, just from my point of view. That might change for other people. Even things like season tickets, for example, they didn't exist. Are we looking at more fan involvement, season tickets, away travel? Away travel obviously is very hard from down here, but you know, and getting enough people, but I think that the club could do and make it more accessible, you know, especially these days. It's difficult to get to away games, you know. If you're looking at trains, they're silly expensive at this point. And how much fan involvement are you looking for in the club in the future when they're back home? What are you looking for from the fans?
It's a great question. First of all, as much as we can get on the fan involvement. I think that's, like has been said now multiple times, without the fans, we're nothing. So it's got to be about the fans. Everything is about the fans. So definitely season tickets. Anything you would see at a professional club, we will have for next season. That is the plan. So souping up the operation, 100%. Fan involvement. This isn't going to be the only time we sit down. Okay, we're going to do this a lot, especially over the next weeks and months. We're going to be engaging the fans quite a bit and trying to gauge what you want to see at the games. And as far as the away matches are concerned, we should talk about that, because away support, I mean, Paul will probably say, is a huge boost for a side. You know, hearing your fans out there, doesn't matter where you are, that's something that's going to help the side, even psychologically, which is, you know, most of this game is psychological. So yeah, I think that's a big point. It needs to be addressed, and we've got to figure out a way. Cornwall is quite geographically separate from everywhere else, and in a way that's the way we like it, because it's a major advantage for us for when clubs come over. But I think it can be a galvanizing piece for fans, you know, making away days fun, and we'd love to get involved with that, and we'd love to sort of foster that. So yeah, definitely that's in the cards, and we should open a dialogue on that sooner rather than later.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you ever so much for attending our press conference and fans forum this evening. I hope you will all agree with me that this has been one of the biggest days in Truro City's recent history. New owners, the news that the club is coming home and will be playing at a new ground on the Langar site in 24-25. And as this is a football club and you're all football fans, probably the majority of you will be equally as pleased with the news that our manager, our first team manager, Paul Wotton, has signed a long-term contract extension. He's committed to this club. Our new owners are committed to this club. Ladies and gentlemen, we want you to be committed to this football club as well. Football is coming home, but we can only bring it home with the support for you guys. So next season, when we are back in Truro, we want your support right from the first game, supporting a National League South team as well. I'm not putting too much pressure on Paul then, but I think he'll do it. The highest ranked club in Cornwall as well, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not forget that. But the journey doesn't stop there. It can keep going. You know, there is no glass ceiling. Once we get back, those new facilities, something that we can call our own, finally, after so many years without anything to call our own, and the last 3 years playing in Plymouth as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, I say thank you ever so much.
Before we go, I just want to say one thing. By the way, this guy's an incredible speaker. I just want to say one thing. It would be just absolutely huge for everyone to try and make an effort while we're in the dying embers of our time in Plymouth to get out and support the club and support the players, because they're playing their hearts out, and to have you out there supporting while we're over there would mean everything, and I think that you guys got to be worth at least 14 points over the rest of the season.
Hurry up.
So we want to see you guys come out. It would be incredible for you to come out, and that would set a great tone before our return back to Cornwall.
I was going to say Eric can have the last word, but he's already done it. Thank you ever so much. And as Eric said, this won't be the first one of these, ladies and gentlemen. We look forward to seeing you back here again next time. Thank you.
Your Cornish Soccer Podcast.